don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone. And the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay the prices high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive, don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel,
it's
gonna roll around once more when it does.
When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
It will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this Saturday morning, March 10th, 2018. And we've got a full crew this morning. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
Glad to have you back. Glad to hear you're on the mend. And good morning, Brother John.
Morning.
And we say good morning to Brother Josh from way down south. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning.
And we again say good morning to you, the remnant. And got plenty going on in the world, plenty to talk about. Lots going on from weather to, well, to an ever-changing political scene, it seems like. But we better start out with a word of prayer first. And John, we'll look to you for that, sir.
Sure. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that you've set aside every Saturday morning. Lord, we thank you that our pastor had the insight for us to come together and to discuss the things that are going on in the world and tie them into the Bible and biblical prophecy. And but Lord, we ask for your guidance and your wisdom and your instruction and your discernment as to what it is that you want your people to hear. So guide and direct us and grant us that wisdom and understanding. Father, your word says we have not because we ask not. Well, we're asking, Lord. We're asking for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we do pray, excuse me, we do pray for those, your people, there in the Northeast, Lord, that are getting hammered by these storms one after another. Father, we pray for your protection to be upon them. Put a hedge of angels, a ring of fire, and a shield of light around them. And Lord, we pray for the entire remnant, Lord, those that will not bow their knee to Baal and boldly proclaim no king but King Jesus, those that have been washed in the blood, born again of the water and the Spirit. Father, we plead the precious, holy, cleansing, healing, protective blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ over them. And Father, we forbid the enemy from operating in our lives today. We just praise you and love you and Lord, we, your people who are called by your name, continue to humble ourselves and pray and seek your face, and we are turning from our wicked ways. And Father, we ask that you would hear the cries of your people, that you would continue to grant this nation the deliverance. And as these midterm elections come up, Lord, the enemy seeks to destroy what you've started, the second chance with our president. And Lord, they'll do everything and anything they can to win the elections, to take over the House and the Senate, and to impeach President Trump. So, Father, even now we cry out and we ask that you would intervene for us, Lord, that the watchman over the house of Israel would not once again be found falling asleep, Father. I pray that you would raise up mighty prayer warriors that are willing to put the time in to pray for this country, to pray for protection, to pray for your ministering angels to go to those who may not know you yet, and Father, for your guardian angels to protect all of those that seek to do your will, and for your warring angels, Father, to war in the high places against the demonic forces of hell that seek to destroy your people and your land, the true JERUSALEM. Father, we just ask for an anointing to be upon us this morning in regards to what it is you would have us to speak about. We give you praise and all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Well,
it was interesting this week. I noticed that Farrakhan was back in the news. Hadn't heard anything out of him in quite some time. And I looked up and saw, was trying to figure out what all the hype was. Louis Farrakhan, 84-year-old Muslim. And it was on February 25th, he gave a speech, and it was kind of interesting. I pulled up some of the highlights of his speech, and I thought this was interesting. It says, during it, Farrakhan said that the powerful Jews were his enemies, and that the Jews were responsible for all the filth and degenerate behavior that Hollywood is putting out, turning men into women, women into men, as well as other incendiary remarks. And it was interesting because the Southern Poverty Law Center, boy, they came back, and they're labeling him anti-Semitic, and he's going back and forth with, I'm not anti-Semitic, back and forth, and it was just interesting. But, it just kind of caught me off guard. Coming from the Nation of Islam, it was, I thought that was kind of interesting. I mean, that's not what you normally would expect, especially coming out of the mouth of, somebody that's as corrupt as Farrakhan,
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting, like you say, that the Muslims have a lot more right than a lot of the Judeo-Christians as far as the biblical punishment and as far as calling a spade, and I don't know if that's confusion sent into the camp of the enemy where they're turning against each other. I'm not sure.
Well, I think it's one of those things. I think it boils down to is, you got to have some truth in there, I'm sure that they do have some truth. I mean, you look at a lot of any kind of religion, they have to have some truth because they have to have something that, they can relate to the people. And this is something that, a lot of people know that it's true. They're not, they're afraid to say it and, publicly come out against it. But, to talk about it, a corrupt organization. This speech was, on February 25th, which I didn't know is what they call Savior's Day. And I had I didn't even know that there was such a day that existed. But they're getting close to having that as a national holiday. And it's basically, it's a holiday of the Nation of Islam commemorating the birth of its founder, it's Muhammad. And I talk about perverse.
What date was that, Jason?
February 25th is when the speech was given, and they're talking that the 26th is what they're trying to get to be their called, you know, is what they're trying to get their holiday as Savior's Day.
Probably would have if the abomination was still.
Probably would have, yeah, exactly.
Say about it.
Yeah. Yeah, they call that February 26th, Nation of Islam commemorating the birth of its founder. Yeah.
Did you see this week also, though, that there's more pictures than ever before that are being circulated with Farrakhan and all these high-ranking Democrat officials?
Oh, yeah.
And they're calling for their immediate resignation.
Good, and they should.
So it could be again, more answer to prayer as far as the things that were done in the dark would be brought to light, as far as I can tell.
Amen.
Yeah, it's,
the good news is, how old is he?
What,
85 or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the good news.
Yeah. Yep. Exciting times, that's for sure.
Yeah, they are. No other. Uh-oh. Yeah, somebody's alarm went off.
That?
Yeah, that ought to wake you up in the morning. Some other headlines in the news is, it looks like now that President Trump has agreed to meet with North Korea, Kim Jong-un, and some of the headlines are, talks are better than war, things along those lines, and of course the news outlets have all that. One other thing that I saw is the, we saw, and John, I think you talked about it last week, these tariffs that have come up for steel. That the president's done, come up and trying to level the playing field. The Trans-Pacific Partnership, the TPP, we've talked about that over the last couple of years, that the abomination was in full force with. Our current president pulled the U.S. out last year of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and saw an interesting quote in looking at that in the news yesterday afternoon, and it was... it was just in the article, but it said, the world comes together and Trump divides. The world comes together and Trump divides. And I thought that was pretty interesting that, here whatever you call it, worldly or global or national scale, that that is coming out. And that just like the filth of Hollywood being exposed, it's good that it gets exposed. It doesn't have to be us exposing it, but it's good that truth is coming out. And anyway, that caught my eye with so many people looking to this global economy that, it needs to be the entire world. And but yet they're looking at our president as being one who is dividing and pulling us out of these bad relationships, bad agreements that are detrimental to the United States.
It's not even that. It's way more important than that. The bottom line is, if a country cannot produce steel and aluminum, it cannot fight a war. And I think he understands that. And based on the cycles that we looked at here a couple weeks ago, history repeats itself.
Yes.
And we're on the verge of that sometime in the next 5 to 7 years. And if all of our steel, and you can't just fire a steel industry back up once it's shut down. In fact,
right.
If you've been to any of the steel towns in Indiana or anything like that, they're ghost towns. And those old factories, they can't even be revived. So there's only a handful of steel factories left, and mostly in Pennsylvania, if I remember right. But the enemy remembers, they play chess, they figure out long before anybody's going to realize what it is that they're doing, and
that's what NAFTA was all about, was open borders and equalizing Mexico and Canada with the U.S., and that was Clinton. And that's done more industry in this country than just about any other single act.
Amen.
So it's good to see that some of the things that were even done, you know, generations or decades ago, let's put it that way, are being brought to the forefront and being resolved as well.
Well, that's one thing that brought the prices of steel down so much in the United States. I mean, for the last, probably 8 years, 9 years now, the steel prices have been down, but that was because we opened up those imports of Chinese, Japanese steel, and we started bringing steel in, and yep, we weren't taxing it. And it was cheaper to bring steel in from foreign countries, and they wasn't getting taxed, so it was cheap, and it was inexpensive, and they were flooding our market with it. And that drove the price of our steel factories down, where they couldn't even keep in business because of, you know, the EPA regulations and the high dollars that they had to pay in taxes to produce, yep, steel here in the United States. So it was basically a war, and it was a war against our steel factories, and they got them shut down. And they used the Chinese and the Japanese to drive that price down and to shut our factories down.
Yes.
Yeah, but think about that, too, what it does to our ability to fight a war.
Well, exactly. And that's
think,
what they did with World War II.
Know that. Exactly. But remember, they did the same thing with oil, right? We used to be totally dependent upon foreign oil, and just in the last, I don't know, five or so years, we've started drilling and fracking, and we're now almost, I think, coming close to the biggest oil producing nation. But remember that oil prices went crazy because OPEC started to cut us off, and we weren't quite at that plateau yet, but then it'll equal out again. So yeah, right now we may end up paying more for steel, but what's the price of national sovereignty worth as far as being able to fight a war without steel and aluminum?
Prices need to go up, that's the problem. Yeah
Well, and the thing about that steel is anybody that actually knows that Chinese steel is not any good. I mean, it's nothing like the steel that we used to produce here. I'm sure you've come across that too, Jason.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's probably why we have a lot more roads and bridges and stuff deteriorating, stuff that, you know, isn't 100 years old like it used to. Could be because of that steel, because even the rebar and stuff was that foreign steel.
Yeah, talked to one of our local state representatives this past week about the redrilling. We mentioned it. You know, the state is starting to move more coal. It's not being advertised a whole lot, but they're starting to dig a little bit more, starting to move a little bit more coal. And then the conversation of oil came up, and you know, the word out there is that, you know, it's got to be $50 a barrel oil is what it takes for them domestically, at least here in Wyoming, to be able to, you know, to go back and to drill and to start hauling it and to do that. So yeah, we're seeing that the prices may change a little bit, but it seems like that the spirit in the land is more let's do it domestically and let's do it here, like you said about the steel mills, the oil, the natural gas, the coal. The people are starting to wake up and see that when we do that here as opposed to bringing it in from overseas, that provides jobs and homes you know, for people here. And I think that too is part of those cycles, John, that you brought at church Sunday and that is in this next newsletter. It's part of those cycles, that the change in the air, we talk about it. Oh, there's a change in the air. And it sure seems like that we're going right through that.
Well, it's interesting this morning. I was looking at some scripture, and the things that I had on my mind was because of the situation I looked at here recently was the fact of the land being depleted and the minerals not being out there. If you don't have healthy ground, you don't have healthy animals, you don't have healthy people. And so that was on my mind this morning. I was looking at some scripture, and I turned to in the book Exodus and went to look in, and Exodus 23:25 was the verse that I looked up. And then I backed on up before it once again to look at who's talking and what the situation is. And so the scripture I was going to start with was Exodus 23:20. And then John's prayer, the first thing this morning, tied exactly into that, Exodus 23:20. Behold, I'm going to send an angel before you to guard you along the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Be on your guard before him and obey his voice. Do not be rebellious towards him, for he will not pardon your transgression, since my name is in him. But if you truly obey his voice and do all that I say, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. For my angel will go before you and bring you into the land of the Amorites, the Hittites, Perizzites, Hittites, Hivites, and Jebusites, and I will completely destroy them. You shall not worship their gods, nor serve them, nor do according to their deeds, but you shall surely overthrow them and break their sacred pillars in pieces. And that verse there tied in with Farrakhan and all that y'all were talking about, the valley. You know, that's not worshiping their gods, and that's not participating in their holidays and being separate from that. And then verse 25, but you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water.
Yes.
And I will remove sickness from your midst. There shall be no one miscarrying or barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. I will send my terror ahead of you and throw into confusion all the people among whom you come. And I will make your enemies turn their backs to you. I will send hornets ahead of you so that they will drive out the Hivites and the Canaanites and the Hittites before you. I will not drive them out before you in a single year, that the land may not become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. I will drive them out before you little by little until you become fruitful and take possession of the land. I will fix your boundary from the Red Sea to the Sea of the Philistines, from the wilderness to the River Euphrates, for I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you will drive them out before you. You shall make no covenant with them or their gods. They shall not live in your land, because they will make you sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto you. So that's definitely, we definitely need to keep praying that to keep them at bay and make sure that we're not inadvertently serving their God, doing things, throwing in with them, because, you know, ignorance is no excuse on that.
Amen to that.
Yeah, I was just looking at Hebrews 1:14. It's still there. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? Well, that's us. That's the remnant. That's those that are washed in the blood, born again of the water and the spirit. And then it's continuing on in verse 2, Hebrews 2. For this reason, we must pay much closer attention, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation after it was at the first spoken through the Lord? It was confirmed to us by those who heard, God also testifying with them, both by signs and wonders, and by various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will.
Amen to that. Amen to that. You know, Joshua, you're reading there those promises that God promised. Our Bible reading plan this past week has been part of the Old Testament part has been Joshua. And in the book of Joshua is where God delivers on those promises. He gives the land of the Hittites and the Canaanites and the Philistines, and he does drive them out. The five kings here, the three kings there, the cities are given, and I love how the book of Joshua starts out. It tells him, Joshua 1:6, be strong and courageous. Verse 7 says, be strong and very courageous. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. He says it again in verse 18. Only be strong and courageous. Then in Joshua 5, the Lord sends that, John, that you talked about, that ministering spirit. In Joshua 5, it says, Joshua was by Jericho. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And the man says, no, rather indeed, I have come as captain of the host of the Lord. And here God fulfilled, he is fulfilling those promises right here, right through this. And what an exciting story to sit down and read Joshua this past week. And I think it is for us today that we have to do the same thing. We have to be strong and courageous. That we can't just sit back and let other people do it. The promises of God are there. If we will go and do as God said.
Amen. I've been encouraged. I believe it was a revealing from the Holy Spirit of the one aspect that we may have missed when we started anointing courthouses and capitals, back, probably 10 years ago now, was the universities. And if you really look at where the enemy has gained the most, I believe it's in education. And the fact that 30 years ago, there was liberals that were teaching in the universities, but now they've educated all of the teachers in the public school system, which go from kindergarten, all the way up to higher education, so-called higher education. So it's encouraging to see the remnant across the country that have taken that seriously and gone out and anointed the universities. And I mean, some universities have 120 plus buildings, like the one here in Colorado, or one of them in here in Colorado. But I think you hit the administration building, you try to find that cornerstone that was laid by the Masons, and then you hit the psychology departments, because you look at the things that are going on in the land, it's the psychology, which is, witchcraft, is what we see, I think, is making a lot of inroads towards the enemy's goals.
Well, I agree. One of the things that, you look at where so much of this stuff is coming from, this week in the headlines, transracial, racial dologing humiliates her children in a new documentary. And they're talking about a new documentary that's coming to Netflix, and it's based on being multiracial and having a multiracial household. That stemmed out of the universities. That stemmed out of the education system. We've got Google that came out this week, and Google Doodle pushed transgenderism for International Women's Day. Information liberation. On their homepage Thursday, Google featured a comic from transgender activist, some weird name I can't pronounce, publishing transgenderism in honor of International Women's Day. And that has been spewed out of the schools and the education system and the universities. And it's because they started teaching it there, and that's where every little bit of it started from. You can say that it came from there. You can say it was spewed up out of the pits of hell. But that's where Satan planted his seeds, was in those universities.
Yes, the way it truly is the way of the world. We were warned, as Joshua read, as Josh just read back in Exodus, don't go that way. Don't serve their gods. Don't do what they do. You know, all of that has been kept in check, had been kept in check, when Christianity was more of the law of the land than it is today, when the men were strong and courageous. But, yeah, you know, 50-plus years ago, prayer taken out of school, and it has been a downward spiral since. Because that evil is not checked, not checked at all.
The thing I find amazing, really, is you talk to these people who have been brought up in the denominations, you know, the main ones, and they still can't get it through their head that there's those that roam like roaring lions seeking someone to devour, that come only to steal, kill, and destroy, and they are amongst us. They just can't get that through their head because they've been so brainwashed by the Jesus loves me and everybody is the same and we're all going to heaven. And I'm like, well, show me that in the Bible, because that's not what the Bible says.
Right. No, that's not who they worship, the God of the Bible. That's you know, they think that it is. It's like Paul wrote, you know, where was it he went through, and he said, you know, hey, I'm telling you people this. Here's where you worship the unknown God. Well, you know, this false Jesus that the Judeo-Christians worship today is not the Jesus Christ of the Bible. It's not the God of the Bible. It's just not. They don't read the Bible. They listen to what some guy tells them. You know, it may be the early or the late service on Sunday morning, so they can get back to, you know, doing whatever they want to do. And you're right. It's that God loves you. He loves everybody right where you're at. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to change anything. He loves you just the way you are. And that is not the God of the Bible. It certainly isn't. And so these people that are in this false religion, thinking that they're Christians, it is a spell. It is a spell that they, for the most part, a lot of them want to be in. They want to just think they can do whatever they want to do, and that, yeah, they'll just, you know, when they die, they'll go to heaven. And nothing else matters. That's what they've been told.
Yeah, one of our brothers sent in a scripture. It's applicable, I would say. Leviticus 26:32-35. It says, I will make the land desolate so that your enemies who settle it will be appalled. Excuse me. And it will be appalled over it. You, however, I will scatter among the nations and will draw out a sword after you. As your land becomes desolate and your cities become waste, the land will enjoy its Sabbaths all the days of the desolation while you are in your enemy's land. Then the land will rest and enjoy its Sabbaths all the days of its desolation. It will observe the rest which it did not observe on your Sabbaths while you were living on it. That goes along with the remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And that's turning out to be quite a challenge when you figure in the generations of the time that Sunday was just another day. And most people, like to say, they figure if they go to church an hour or two on Sunday, they're good to go.
Yeah, don't make it 2 hours, John. Just an hour. You know, I got other things to do.
Yeah.
And that's why they have these early in morning services. You know, there's no more the 45-minute Sunday school and then social time and then an hour or two. And I remember talking to Chris in the past, talking about him growing up, that, you know, you'd have a 3 or 4 hour sermon sometimes. And I can remember, you know, once a month, you were there at church all day on Sunday growing up. Little Free Will Baptist congregation down in Florida. Once a month, once every 6 weeks, you'd have a visiting pastor coming in, and it was all day. And there were a lot of people there. And now it's, oh, if you make it at the 9 o'clock, you know, you can come to the 9 or the 11 o'clock conference. We'll get you out by noon if you come at 11. It has changed. Society has changed. Now, the Word of God doesn't change. I think it's interesting that all of us are quoting out of the Old Testament this morning. That's what Jesus did. That's what he did. Half of the words that we have in read in the scriptures are Jesus quoting from the Old Testament. But the people don't read it. You know, that was one of the many great things that our pastor pushed and promoted and taught us was read your word. Read your word. Don't just believe what he would say. Don't just believe what I'm saying. You go back and read it and see if that's not what it says. You know, they had to do that back in Joshua's day. They did the same thing in Joshua 8, verse 34. Then afterward, he read all the words of the law, the blessing and the curse, according to all that is written in the book of the law. And in Isaiah or in Jeremiah, when, you know, they had to do that again. The people had forgotten. The people had forgotten what the Word of God said. And the bulk of Americans today that are supposed to be Christians, they have forgotten. They have forgotten what it says because they don't take the time to read it. I think that's one of the things that is most important with any Bible reading plan is it's a tool to use to, oh, well, I've read the Bible. Well, read it again. You know, if you can't read all of it, you know, read what you can. Study his word. That's part of what we are to do, not just believe. Well, I believe in God, and then I'm going to continue on, you know, 23 and a half hours a day doing whatever I want, whatever pleases me. That is not pleasing to God.
But then again, the churches, the reason that there's no power in the churches anymore is there's no truth in the churches. There's no fire and brimstone truth. So why would they be drawn to stay longer and to hear when it's nothing but lukewarm? I mean, that's one thing that I think is encouraging as well, is a lot of people are starting to realize that 90%, you know, we've been saying it for years, but I would say 85 to 90% of the people who call themselves Christians or who attend church on a regular basis are lukewarm at best. And some of them are starting to realize that. There's actually a few pastors who are taking a stand against the political correctness that's creeping into the churches, but they're taking a hit. I mean, and a lot of that is because of the education of the people. These younger generations, they've been educated away from God.
Yes.
They may continue to go to a building once a week for an hour or two because that's the tradition that the family had always done, but they've been educated contradictory to the Word of God. And a lot of them, it's a spell that's over the land as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I don't know. I've looked at several Church of Christ lately, and there's one Church of Christ that was up there in Minnesota that you can get on and you can look at, you know, sermons and see services and stuff. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of truth coming out of some of these Church of Christ and these little churches that are across this land.
Praise God.
And I think I believe that is because, you know, they, one of the things that they stand upon is they are baptized for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ. And they have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, the Holy Spirit is working in those churches. There's one here locally that they've come out and they've taken a huge stand against this change at genderism and homosexuality. And, they are doing the work that they feel led to be doing. Do they have all truth? No. But are they making a stand and are they making a difference? I believe so. I think it's wrong to say that all of these churches, you know, I mean, you can't throw all of these churches in together in one, because you look at what's happened with, you know, with these Episcopal churches where they're the churches that are changing the gender of every scripture in the Bible. They're saying that God is not neither he or she. Now, I mean, that's spewed up from the pits of hell.
Amen.
They're turning into a transgender.
80 to 90%.
So that's, it's not fair to throw that church in with, you know, a church that's preaching the truth.
I agree. And praise God for the ones that are. But they're few and far between.
Yes.
Well, it's different to say few and far between than to say all of them or there is none.
I didn't. I said 80 to 90%. That ain't all of them.
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
I wasn't about
anyways.
And it is. It is.
No, I
hear
you.
You're right, Jason. It is. It is encouraging. Meet with a group of men from here in town that aren't affiliated with our church, just for a midweek, Wednesday morning prayer breakfast. John, I know you do that down there, and it's encouraging to hear, at least from the men. And I've been to a couple of the churches that they go to, and it is encouraging to hear from the men things like that God requires obedience. And that, God requires more than just, it's more than just believing, and that they're helping other men to take that next step from just, coming to church to living their life based on the biblical, on what they see in the Bible. And so you're absolutely right, Jason, and it is encouraging when you see those. I agree with you. I think they are few and far between, because I hear stuff from others, where the high honorable Sister Josephine is bringing the message today. And, God is just, he is not going to bless disobedience. He never has. He never, ever, ever has that I can see. That he blesses when people are going against his word, but he'll pour out the heavens and wipe out armies for those that are obedient to him and that love him.
Yeah, we just started going through Ezekiel, and it's kind of concerning, really, in a way that none of these guys had ever really seen Ezekiel 3:17 through 21. And this is, I think, one of the first things that the Lord brought to my attention after our pastor was called home. I think the first branch and I centered around these verses. But this is the time, really, that we're in as well. But, Son of Man, I've appointed you as watchmen,
yes,
to the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, warn them from me. When I say to the wicked, you will surely die, and you do not warn him or speak out to warn the wicked from his wicked way, that he may live, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you have warned the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered yourself again. When a religious man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I place an obstacle before him, he will die, since you have not warned him. He shall die in his sin, and his righteous deeds which he has done shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand. However, if you have warned the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he took warnings, you, and you have delivered yourselves. I mean, those guys, they'd never heard any of this before, but the other thing is they've experienced all kinds of spiritual warfare in their lives with their wives and their children and their finances and everything else. And I said, well, you guys aren't praying like I told you in the beginning, are you? Well, no, not really. We kind of forget. And I'm like, well, you can't war against Satan. I mean, a wise preacher once said, no move towards God goes unnoticed by Satan. And if you remember that, then you'll remember to pray against the things in the spiritual realm. I've made a habit these days of canceling any satanic assignments that may have been sent against me, and then I list every member of my family. And then every morning I say, I forbid the enemy from operating in my life, and I list all the members of my family. And then I plead the precious, holy, cleansing, healing, protective blood of Jesus Christ over myself, and I list every member of the family. And I believe if you do that, that the enemy can have no power over you or your family.
I agree. Luke 10:19 tells us, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing will injure you." That all is the same all as in, where is it, Romans 8:28, that says, you know, he works all things for good. All things, not some things, all things for those that love him, that are called according to his purpose. All things. And here in Luke 10:19, all, over all the power of the enemy. So you're absolutely right, John. I agree with you wholeheartedly. We haven't been taught... actually, we have been taught this. We have been taught to pray with authority. We've been taught to be in the physical as well as in the spiritual, as we read in Joshua, be strong and courageous. Well, part of that is claiming the authority that we have in Jesus' name over all the power of the enemy, like the Word says.
Yeah, but when he says, when you hear a word from me, then we're to tell.
Yes. Absolutely.
The rest of the world, so.
Absolutely. And this ministry has always done that. Don't you think so? I think this ministry has always done that. I think that was what Pastor did, was he got truth, and when he got truth, he put it out. It didn't matter if you didn't like it. It didn't matter if it was going to cause a certain family to leave, or it didn't matter if it was going to offend. If he got it from God, if it was truth, he just put it out. And many times it did offend. And many times it did cause people to leave. So be it.
But it's just as much the responsibility of the followers of Jesus Christ to do that than it is for the head of that ministry. That's the
yes.
key.
Yeah,
because that's why we're spread all across this country and throughout the world, really, is because each one of us is supposed to take up that cross and spread the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, not just follow. We're supposed to be the ones that are preaching and teaching the truth all across the country and the world.
And warning.
Yep. I don't know if you saw what happened in Florida here, I guess yesterday, the traitor governor decided to pass some sort of legislation against gun control, making it illegal for anyone under the age of 21 to purchase a rifle.
Yeah, even a long gun. Yeah. Yeah. Governor Scott did that. And then I thought he had a waiting period. I thought he put a waiting period, and then I think he also signed a confiscation allotment or allowance that having to do with, you know, somebody deemed having issues with mental health. That they can go in and confiscate.
Slope.
It is.
Yeah, and they've already got lawsuits against them over it too.
Yeah,
they've had several lawsuits that have been filed. The NRA launched a suit against them, against basically the state of Florida, and they're going after Governor Rick Scott personally too. Because I mean, basically, it's completely the way that the procedure that they went about it was basically unheard of, and they said it should not be law, but they're acting like it is law. So there's a lot of controversy involved in it.
Yeah, it's good to see the NRA filing suit against it. But you know what most people don't see is the fact that, did you hear about that Promise program that Obamanation administration administered in the school systems? Basically, what it was there was too many minorities that were going from school to jail. So Obamanation, with Eric Holder and Duncan, whatever his name was, the head of the education department during the Obamanation administration, came up with this plan that most offenses that would normally be involve law enforcement would now be dealt with internally, and they would basically, I'm trying to find the name of it, but it's kind of comical what they would call it. Let's see.
Is it?
Oh, healing circles. So it says, sign an agreement with the county sheriff. This is in Broward County. and other jurisdictions for trade cops and counseling students charged with various misdemeanors, including assault, would now be disciplined through participation in healing circles, obstacle courses, and other self-esteem building exercises. But, I mean, 65 of the school districts across the country adopted this plan basically because they threatened to take away funding if they didn't. And,
you know, John, that's what King David, when he was a youth, that's what he should have done with Goliath. He should have invited Goliath to a healing circle and explained to Goliath that he shouldn't talk the way he should and that he shouldn't come against, you know, the Israelites and that they should just get along and should give Goliath, he should have given him some therapy because his dad didn't like him and, you know, all this other stuff. Again, that's the way the world looks at it. So let me get this right. My kid's in school and some illegal alien beats the crap out of him, puts him in the hospital, breaks his arm, bloodies his eye, and the illegal alien, because too many of them are breaking the law and assaulting our children and going to jail, but that makes the numbers look bad. And so he's given a therapy at a healing circle as punishment.
Well, it's not even illegal aliens. It's the minorities. I mean, let's face it, Southern Florida is taken over by minorities, but this is an example that they give. St. Paul, Minnesota, a high school science teacher was beaten and choked out by a 16-year-old student who allegedly came up behind him and called him a blank and white cracker and put him in a stranglehold before bashing his head into a concrete wall and pavement. The student, Fonte O'Bannon, got 90 days of electronic home monitoring and anger management counseling for the December 2015 attack. And then the teacher has short-term memory loss, hearing problems, and blames the Obama administration's Promise program for that. And other teachers all across the country are saying that right now the kids basically just thumb their nose at them because they know that they this even eliminated suspension out of school suspension. It wasn't just a matter of keeping them from law enforcement getting involved. So,
yeah, and it's interesting that Promise is studying health problems that disproportionately affect minority men, including diseases such as diabetes, cancer, and violence. Violence, which has only recently been recognized as a health disparity comparable to diabetes. They're saying that the violence that these minority men have is comparable to diabetes. It's a disease. They can't help it. They don't have any control over it. They don't have any. It's just something, you either get it or you don't get it.
Is that not insanity?
Yeah, they call them restorative justice partners. In Broward County Sheriff was one of those that was a spokesperson for it, which they said if this kid Cruz would have been charged appropriately throughout his delinquency in high school, he never would have been able to purchase a AR-15. So apparently this has dropped the minority from school to prison by 65%, and that's not enough for the school district head, Runcie, who was a good friend of Obamanation and used to run the Chicago school system, who runs the Broward County school system now. And they just received a grant for $800,000 to hire a psychologist to evaluate the teachers, the administrations, and the school police based on their response to minority infractions of the law, they call it. So the problem doesn't appear to be getting any better. It's somewhat getting worse. But for some reason, I heard that Betsy DeVos, the new school superintendent, was trying to overturn that since she got into the office, and there's something that's hindering that, probably the Republicans themselves.
Yeah, probably the $800,000 that goes to every school to hire a psychologist. Tell me that there's not a few people with their fingers in that pot.
Yeah,
it's a broken system. As far as Christianity goes, it works just fine for the world. It does just fine for them. You know, it brings forth stealing, killing, and destroying, and that's doing the will of their father. And they love to have it that way. They do. They love to have it that way. But it won't be that way forever. Well, men, we're about out of time. I want to thank everybody for joining us. Remnant, we thank you for tuning in this morning. And you might hear this message at other times. We're going to replay it on, I think it'll replay over the weekend and next week. But the program is Coffee with the Wranglers. We thank you for joining us. And we invite you to come to church with us on Sunday morning. You can join us at scriptures4america.org. If you have a good internet connection, you can click on the live video stream. We'll fire things up, planning on it, about 8:30 in the morning. And men, let's remember, tonight or first thing in the morning, daylight savings time kicks on. So everybody has turned their clocks. If you're going to participate, spring it forward. Turn your clocks forward an hour. And that'll be daylight savings time kicks in. But church, we're starting at 8:30 in the morning. And we'll have a good timeless pulpit truth. And John, looking forward to the live message you're going to bring. And we'll have communion and some music and fellowship. You can come fellowship with the saints. And so we encourage you to do that. We invite you to come. Like we try to say, if you're going to be there in person, we'd sure appreciate a phone call just so we know. But that's all the time we have, men. Thanks again, Josh. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Josh.
Have a blessed day down there, way down south.
Yes, sir.
God bless, men.
Rolling, 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 rolling. Rolling, 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 shake on.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them hell and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.